Len, it might be our last blast of the season, but slightly warmer temperatures here this week. 49 and sunny yesterday, 52 today, some talk of 65 tomorrow, and back in the low to mid-50s on Thursday. And some of the courses that are open or might reopen in the next couple days to do some business are hoping to give golfers an opportunity to play a final round of golf this year outside.
Yeah, as I remember from my Chicago days, well, being there in the wintertime, and it was always exciting when you'd get a, you know, you'd get a day without snow and one where the temperatures were on the mild side. Of course, here in Florida, a cold day is when it gets into the high 40s, and we have had a couple of those, but it hasn't stopped the golf on the course that I live on now. So it's been, you know, it's been a good start for the golf season here, I would say. People are just won't really be starting to pile in, I don't think, until after the new year this year. But you know, there's going to be some good golf in Florida. I'm looking at it right outside my window here. It makes me anchor to play again. But I played yesterday and played again tomorrow, so I guess I'm spoiled on that front.
The long range weather forecasters at this point, and you know how Chicago weather is, it changes every 15 to 30 minutes or so, and more often than not, the reports we get within a couple days are completely different. But it's less than a month to the Eskimo Open, and there have been some suggestions there may not be any snow on the ground here come January 2nd. I don't know what the temperatures might be like, but the Eskimo Open, and I know you've played in it before, but it seems to draw well when you don't have to hit your ball out of the snow.
You know, I had an awful lot of fun playing in the Eskimo Open way back when. My brother and I, my brother was passed on, but my brother and I would play there. We played in 10 straight years. Now, it wasn't held at Cock Hill back then. It was, I believe it was Buffalo Grove Golf Club most of the time at that time and place. But, yeah, you know, it was very tough but fun to play when there was snow on the ground and you had to dig out your ball and hit it from there. But I tell you, if there's not snow on the ground, I don't think the temperature is going to much matter. I think they're going to have a big full field for the Eskimo Open on January 2nd at Cog if they can just have a snow-free Eskimo Open, because you can hit the ball. The ball will roll and roll and roll. You can hit it 300 yards, even an average player, and it's an awful lot of fun. It's an event that really I'm glad they keep that one going. I'm surprised more courses don't even give it a shot.
Well, Len, you know, it would be nice if another course or two would give it a shot, especially being the fact that Cog Hill is down in the south-southwest suburbs. It would be nice if there was a northern location again, much like Buffalo Grove, like you mentioned, hosted it years ago.
It's kind of a risk to open up your club in the middle of winter when you don't know what in the world could be played over there. But, you know, I think the interest is there. I guess that's the main thing. The interest in golf is year-round. Even if there's snow on the ground, it's been proven people will play. And I think it's a good promotion. It shows the enthusiasm for golf, regardless of the weather. There are some real diehards that are always willing to play.
Well, Len, a lot of things going on at Cog Hill, and you know, I was over there just a week or so ago, and I noticed that even on a Friday night in December, with in the dark, 48 degrees out, there's at dinner time, there's 35 people out there hitting golf balls. The new setup with all the lights out there where the whole range is lit up and people are using Top Tracer is kind of neat. And they've built a little bar into that area out there. People are getting drinks, including the new Cog Hill beer. And with everything they've done at the range, Cog Hill has created a range picker pale ale with a picture of the little range tractor that goes around and picks up the golf balls out in the can. And I've had one of those, Len, and it's pretty darn good. And they have changed the long drive ale can. It's been geared down to more pictures of Dubstred and the historic black and white photo of Joe Jemsek hitting the 501-yard drive at the World's Fair has been removed.
You know, from what I've been hearing, from not just in Chicago, but from neighboring states and other golf, more and more golf courses are showing some innovative thinking. And it's gonna, sooner or later, it's going to become time to start a collection of these golf, good beer and wine collections, because there's some very interesting thought processes in there. I thought when I saw the one of Joe Jemsek hitting his classic drive in the World's Fair competition decades and decades ago, I thought that was the epitome of fresh thinking. But there's been more and more and more of that. And our friend Lynx, Dave Lockhart, with his Lynx Lager, could be added to the mix. Though I think that I think they're all onto something. I've got to try some of those things.
Well, they would fit in real well at the Len Zeme Estate, some of these collectible beers. But anyway, yeah, you can get four packs to go, and I think the golfers would enjoy either flavor of what's being brewed by Pollyanna Brewing for the folks over at Cog Hill. We visited it when you were up here this summer, but it appears finally this Friday, the brand new Fox Run Golf Links Clubhouse over at Elk Grove is set to open. They were just waiting for the fire department to sign off on an issue, and they believe that was going to be taken care of either yesterday or today. And maybe Friday night people will be in there enjoying the food and beverage, the three simulators, and watching some sports on Friday night on the many big screens in the new clubhouse.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting project that they took on over there. I mean, Fox Run, I think they're a case of a golf course that's somewhat landlocked there, but they show that their facilities can grow. I think that's going to be, of course, when we saw it, it was only in not preliminary stages, but it was quite a ways from completion. And it still looked like it's a place where a lot of fun was going to be had. And it wasn't just going to be in the golf season. So I think that's a real boost for the people out in Elk Grove, whether they're golfers or not. I think it's going to give them another place of entertainment, a recreational facility. I'm hopeful of having a look at that, and I wish them nothing but the best. I think it was great for the Elk Grove Park District to take on a project like that.
Saw some real creativity when I went over and visited the Shack, the indoor golf club over in Glenview. Credit owner Nick Larkin for getting a few people in the North Shore with a strong golf background to invest in him. But he's got a nice little business over there located halfway between North Shore Country Club and the Glen Club. And he's got four simulators and a nice bar and a dining area. And you know, if the weather is too hot, rainy in the summer, or you just want to be able to swing the golf club in the middle of the winter, the Shack in Glenview with four simulators is a nice place to go and get your swings in.
That's what I've heard. I wish I could have a look at some of these places back in Chicago, and that one sounded like one of the most interesting four simulators. And the one thing there, sooner or later, I guess they're even starting. I'm hearing that they're starting simulator golf leagues out of some of these places. I mean, the ingenuity is unceasing. It's really says a lot for golf, but especially the people who are operating the facilities.
Well, Len, break this one down for me a little bit. University of Illinois alum Tristan Nolan was down at the LPGA Q School trying to earn a tour card, and she was in pretty good shape after round five with one round to go, but slipped below that line where you automatically get a card. But it appears that she did finish high enough where she might have some limited status.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was really kind of disappointing. I was following how Tristan was doing. I think she is going to make it as a player because, of course, we've seen the best of Tristan in Chicago. We've seen her play very well in both the Women's Western Amateur and a couple of Illinois Women's Opens. She had a solid career at Illinois. She's from Kentucky, but she's been a good solid player, and we certainly need more influence on that, Illinois influence on that circuit. The only one who's, now that Nicole Jure is basically a teaching pro and playing in senior events, Elizabeth Zokol from Winnetka is the only player with an Illinois background out there, and she had a great year this year. But sure, be nice to have some of our own make their mark on the LPGA Tour. And I thought Kristen, I still think Kristen could be one that can do it.
Well, Len, I got to believe that some of our Illinois PGA section club pros that like to play in some of the national club pro championships and different events that the PGA of America offers might be applauding with the installation of what's being nicknamed the Uresti Rule. Omar Uresti, a former PGA Tour player who, according to numbers, there's been reports that he played in over 350 PGA Tour events. And then he did everything legal. He went by the rule book and came back and sort of changed his status and had been cleaning up in some of the club professional events. And I think some of the club professionals really don't think that guys who spend many years on the PGA Tour should be back competing against them in their tournaments.
You know, I have some real misgivings on this one. It's been from all I've read, like you've said, Omar has played by the rules. And I can remember on a local level, the Illinois PGA had issues with Bob Zender back when he spent 10 years on the PGA Tour, won some money, but was no great star. Rick Delpos, the same thing. They played very well in the local events when they returned to the club pro ranks. I don't know how you can legislate a guy out of an event like that. Frankly, I kind of feel like I'd like to see him in the field. I think the competitiveness should bring out the best in the club pros, and there a lot of them are very good players. I feel like the stuff like the Uresti rule. It's a quote. It's not really a rule, but it's. It goes against the grain of competition for me. I guess the bottom line for me is I think that if he coincided with the rules, he should be able to play, and the others will have to prove that they can go out and beat him.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. There has been no mention of this yet, but based on some comments Uresti made, you have to wonder if he might seek the advice of legal counsel and challenge this a little bit. And you did mention some of these club pros that really are good golfers. And there's a great story this week about one of the pros from, I believe, the Met area, New York, New Jersey, Rob Labrance, who has been a club pro for years but went to Q school and has made it through there. And he'll be on the PGA Tour Champions coming up in 2022.
Well, that is a good story, Rob. He's not the only one who's a good player who tries to go through the Q school ranks. If he makes it, great. If he doesn't, he can still play with his in the club pro stuff, which is many times very good golf. I've seen the Illinois PGA has had its championship and its Illinois Opens, and they produce some exciting and quality golf over the years. And I think that golf is a hard to legislate a guy out of playing. I've always kind of felt like the more the merrier. Not that age is not really a barrier in golf. We have our Champions Tour. There's places for those folks to play. I'm kind of thinking the more the merrier. See how the ones who get tested by guys who have been pros, see how they fare, and maybe they'll want to be pros. Maybe they'll be happy the way they are. But it's an interesting dilemma. But I think it's good for golf that more and more people want to play and keep playing and competing.
There always seems to be news in the Pinehurst, North Carolina, Pinehurst, Southern Pines area. And, of course, this year is no different. We just had an announcement from Pinehurst that their historic Carolina Hotel is going to see a massive renovation inside and out on the property that's going to be done over three phases, but it will be done before the 2024 U.S. Open arrives. They've also opened their new interesting and well-needed halfway house out on the Cradle Golf Course. In addition, There's also news about what's happening over at Ross Resorts in Southern Pines. The Southern Pines Country Club, that is now part of the family with Mid Pines and Pine Needles, opened a couple of months ago from renovation, a Kyle Franz renovation, and has been a massive hit. I understand that they're getting around 200 golfers a day, even at this time of year, that are out there playing that golf course. And in addition, the resort has just put out an email that if you're looking for a great Christmas present, you want to go to Pine Needles next June and see the U.S. Women's Open. They have some ticket specials running right now, but a lot happening between the two main resorts in the Pinehurst, Southern Pines area.
Well, I tell you, Pinehurst is the heart of golf for me. I mean, if you had to pick one spot where you wanted to be, Pinehurst would be it. I, of course, played Pine Needles a few times, but they're so good over there about having tournaments like the U.S. Open all the way down to the smaller U.S. Amateur. I mean, they've had all kinds of competition forever over there. And now with the U.S. Golf Association establishing its presence over there, it can only grow and grow and grow. But it's golf the way it's meant to be played over there. I can't say enough for the Pinehurst people. It's been a couple of years since I've been over there now, but that's going to end this summer. We're definitely going to have to go over there and see what's new over there, because there's always something new at Pinehurst. That's the most amazing thing. I don't know how they keep it going, but it shows what the passion of golf is really at its highest over there.
Well, there's a little bit of news on the architecture front. I posted a little story about local architect Greg Martin, and, you know, you and I have talked about Settlers Hill, the project he's doing, that golf course expected to reopen next July with some very scenic elevation change that we don't normally see here in the Chicago area, but it came to light that Greg's got some other projects in the area going on that we really haven't talked about, and there was some work done this fall on the Naperville Park District courses, Springbrook and Naperbrook, and apparently some more work going to happen over there in the fall of next year. And also Fox Bend and Oswego had a little difficulty with one area of the golf course where greens and bunkers were having trouble draining, and it posed a maintenance problem. And looks like Greg is going to go into that part of the golf course and do some work on three holes to clean up one part of the golf course that has had repeated issues. And Greg's also going to be back at work at a couple of former projects he was involved in the southwest Wisconsin area in Janesville and Madison. And things keep rolling along for Greg Martin.
Yeah, Greg certainly doesn't have to stray very far to find work. He may be the most prolific architect ever in the Chicago area since the days of Tom Bendelow. He's done an awful lot of good things, and you can't go wrong with a Greg Martin design. I think that there's plenty of work on courses within our area there, and Greg seems to be grabbing most of them, and he's been doing a great job with all of them.
Well, our good friend from Holland, Michigan, the Evan Scholar, Ray Hearn, has also been busy in the Chicago area and working over at Midlothian Country Club. And appears that the work just wrapped up about 7 or 8 days ago or so. And Ray Hearn posted some of those photos on social media, and it appears that the facelift there really looks good. And it'll be interesting to see what Midlothian might do in the future. They hosted a U.S. Senior Women's Open qualifier there this past year for the USGA. Nicole Jarret, who we spoke about earlier, advanced to the U.S. Senior Women's Open from there, along with a few other players. But you have to think that Midlothian, who, you know, hosted a U.S. Open a little over 100 years ago, might want to host a few more things with their nice new look done by architect Ray Hearn.
Well, Midlothian has a very, very rich golf history. Very few Chicago clubs have a history as rich as Midlothian does. I remember seeing, I believe it was a Western Open there, and that's the last huge event going on there. But You know, when they have, I remember when Mike Wan was getting settled in at his new job as executive director of the USGA, he brought up the fact that he wanted to bring courses of the past, get them involved again, get them Midlothian. Of course, there's more, you know, around Chicago. To be Chicago Golf Club would be first and foremost in that category, but Midlothian isn't far behind. And when they take on a big project like they just did with Ray, they've got to factor into a lot of consideration when it comes to places looking to hold a big event, because Midlothian would be a great place to go back to and stir up the memories of the big events that were held there in the past.
Finally, and I know we might talk about this a little more next week or even after Christmas, but we're coming up towards Christmas Day here now. It's not too far out. And, you know, every once in a while, somebody will say, hey, what should I buy for my favorite golfer for Christmas? And I'm just wondering if there's anything that you have seen that might make a great holiday Christmas gift for a golfer.
I know that we've talked about this a little in the past, but one thing you can't go wrong with, especially this year, both the industry stores and the local pro shops here are talking about the shortage, the potential shortage of golf balls down the road, that the prices are going to go high, that I think if you bought the best golf balls in quantity, that gift would be very appreciative, be much appreciated as the year goes on, because this potential shortage of golf balls that we've been hearing about from too many different sources now to not be have some merit of truth to it. I'd like to get a few dozen boxes of golf balls. I could go wrong. You couldn't go wrong with them, no matter what the brand. And I think people ought to think about that.
Well, Len, an extra dozen golf balls may not be a bad idea. You know, that wasn't something I initially had on my Christmas list, but I added it to my Christmas list to family members who will be shopping for me for the Christmas holiday. And, you know, I've got a few dozen now, but another dozen may not be the worst thing. And so, and for those people who get a holiday gift card, rush out to your favorite store and pick up some golf balls. It could be a very good idea. And Len, before we wrap it for the week, you know that there is a political golf ball controversy. Have you heard about this?
I don't think I have, but I think you're going to tell me, because it sounds like something intrigues me.
Well, Len, believe it or not, due to a large demand, Titleist golf balls that often around the holidays, if you buy a certain few dozen, you can get your free customized whatever it is, your company logo, your name on the golf ball, you know, whatever it is you want. They customize for free, I think, when you purchase 3, 4, 5 dozen golf balls. And apparently, there's been overwhelming demand for this. So as a result, Titleist has decided they are not going to take orders where people want this phrase customized on their golf ball. Let's go, Brandon.
Well,
hundreds and hundreds of people on social media the other day said, well, if they're not going to do that, then we will find another brand to play. But somehow I don't think Titleist is going to have to close their doors and wonder about a shortage of golf ball sales anytime soon.
Nope, they certainly won't. And there's so many golf balls out there, but there's I suspect we're going to. You know, one thing I suspect we're going to find is some even more colorful golf balls going out there. I've seen more here in Florida this year in shocking pink and shocking lime green and dark blue and all this. To me, you play a white golf ball and that's that. That's the way it's supposed to be. But that seems to be a trend that, at least it's surfacing here in Florida, I'm seeing more and more colored golf balls than I've ever seen before.
The colored golf balls are made by our good friends at Zero Friction, the Oak Brook Terrace-based mm-hmm. company, and they do have some holiday specials out, zerofriction.com, if you'd like to put in an order. And also, before wrapping it up this week, we do have a yet another holiday golf sale coming up this Sunday at the Mistwood Golf Course Pro Shop. Our good friends at Mistwood having a holiday sale from 9 to 3. Some items are even going to be 75% off. So there's all sorts of things that you can purchase at the Mistwood Golf Club. And don't forget, go over and see our Mistwood friends at the Mistwood Golf Dome, located on Route 53 in Bolingbrook. Book your hitting bay online at mistwoodgolfdome.com or mistwooddome.com, or you can call on the phone and they'll book it for you at 630-739-7600. That's the Mistwood Golf Dome, home of McWethy Sports Bar and the Sunday NFL ticket. 4 more weeks of the regular season left to watch some exciting NFL football while you chow down on the Mistwood 100 beer and their outstanding award-winning chicken wings. And with that, Len, we'll look forward to doing Volume 36 with you next week.